This year is titled Apple versus the FBI, accessing and disclosing private information. When we think about all the different possible permutations and cases of halacha, we have to always remember that Torah is eternal, it's all-encompassing. There's really nothing we could think of or try to solve that Kadosh Baruch Hu has not already given us the tools to be able to solve. The famous maisa that I heard from Rav Reuven Feinstein, Shlita, he shall live and be well, that Rav Reuven Feinstein said that one time he walked into his house when he was about 10 years old. He came into his apartment on the Lower East Side. And as he walks in to the kitchen, he sees his father, Rav Moshe, with his shirt off, tzitzis on, and a t-shirt, lying underneath a refrigerator that was put up on cinder blocks. And he was lying there with an electrician, and they sat there for hours and hours and hours, literally taking out the kishkos of the refrigerator to see how it could work in order that he could see if he could use it on Shabbos and Yontif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave our Gedolim the Chachma, the understanding, to be able to solve any challenge, any problem that's already built in. If you look there in source number one, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who obviously we've become very fond of in our yeshiva, Rav Chaim Volozhiner has in his Perish on Pirkei Avos and Ruach Chaim, Mishnah Chav, based as the following. He says, "Kein Torah Mashal Midin Sukkah Yecholim Mahotzi Lahatir Aguna VeKidome." He says, from the halachos of Sukkah, we can learn out how to be matir and aguna. We can figure out how to allow a woman to remarry, even though her husband has not given her a get. Even though it appears that the halachos have nothing to do with each other, we don't need the halachos, and a lot of halachos seem like not relevant to us. Because everything can be similar to each other, and every halacha can be learned out from each other. Meaning, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, a lot of the things that we look at in the world, we feel like why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us that specific halacha? What does it do with us? What does it do with anything? But often when we look back, we can begin to solve some of the more challenging things in life. In February 2016, a federal judge ordered Apple to give investigators access to encrypted data on an iPhone of Sayed Farouk and his wife, who murdered 14 people in San Bernardino, California, on December 2, 2015. The U.S. Attorney's Office in L.A. argued that it needed Apple to unlock the phone because the information on the phone was encrypted. Prosecutors needed help finding out who the terrorists were collaborating with. Apple refused because they have a strong commitment to its customer security. It all ended because on March 28th, the FBI cracked the code for the iPhone themselves. They ended up needing it. But so this horrendous, unfortunate incident brings up a broader question as to the limits of a person's right to have personal information kept private. Meaning, what right do we have both to keep our own information private and also to investigate other people's information? For example, what if a person wants to investigate more common information, such as investigating a potential business partner or a shidduch? Can you hack an email account, plant a nanny cam, wiretap somebody just to gain information? Can you go, or if you're savvy enough, if you're ever looking into a shidduch, can you go into, you know, check a bachur's internet history to see what he's doing is appropriate? Is it okay to obtain medical information for a shidduch? Are all of these things allowed? What right do we have to go into get information? Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein has in one of his Truvas in Vaharevna a similar case where there was a girl who was a secretary in a medical office. A shidduch was recommended for her, and literally the next day after that name was suggested to her as a shidduch, all of a sudden that same boy came into the office for blood work. She wanted to know, she asked Rav Zilberstein whether or not she was allowed to go and to check his blood work, not only check it to see what was going on there, but even to test it for further things in order to make sure that the shidduch would go well. That she wanted to be absolutely sure that that would. Whatever, we don't have to go through that whole shuva right now, but the question is still relevant. The question is still relevant. What are you allowed to do? How much are you allowed to investigate in order to get something? Let's make it more mundane. Let's make it more simple. If someone tells you a secret, is it just mean to tell someone? Or is it usur to spread that secret? What about telling a secret to someone about someone else that won't even have an ill effect on them. Meaning, what if somebody tells you something, he's getting a new iPhone. Is that okay to tell other people? To what extent are we obligated to protect the private information of another individual? So let's take a look at some of the sources. There's a Gemara in Yuma on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. You look at source number 2, it says the following. Vayikra el Moshe vayidaber. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe, and he spoke to him. Asked the Gemara, Lama hikdim ha-kriya l'dibor, why does it say vayikra and then daber, limda Torah derech eres? The Torah is to teach you how to act properly. Shelo yomar adam davra chaver elim kin karo. You shouldn't speak to somebody unless you call him first, meaning get his attention, right? We all know that, right? We know when you send an email to 10 people, nobody responds, right? You have to specify, okay, derech eres, good. We see the following support for Chanina Damar. Chanina lo yomar adam davra chaveru elim kin karo. Fine. Laymor. So Amar Rabba minayim laomer davra chaveru shehu beval yeyamer. How do we know that when you say something to somebody else, it cannot be said to somebody else? Ad she yomar lo lacha emor. How do you know that when you say something to somebody, they can't say to somebody else that information unless you say emor, unless you say it? Shenemar, v'yidaber Hashem elav me'ohel moed le'mor. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gave Moshe Rabbeinu the matir to tell other people that which he said in the ohel moed. So whatever it says, every pasuk is a brand new pshat. Every time you look at a chumash now, it's going to open your eyes. He's about to v'yidaber Hashem Moshe le'mor. It says it countless times in Chumash. Le'mor is the matir for Moshe Rabbeinu to tell over to Klal Yisrael that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do. The Chavetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara says, from there we see if we can infer from Moshe's nevuah that it must apply even when the information does not harm the individual. Because obviously we can't hurt HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, HaKadosh Baruch doesn't have a goof, he doesn't have a body, he doesn't have emotions, he's not impacted by our telling over, quote-unquote, of his secrets. Elamai, we see that, says the Chafetz Chaim, even in a situation when it doesn't harm somebody, it's still usher as a Baal Yemar to tell over somebody's secrets. So this, quote-unquote, isser of Baal Yemar, of not telling over somebody, is that, again, if you remember the context of the Gemara, the Gemara started with there is to tell you derech eretz, to tell you it's a mussar for, to tell you it's a nice idea. But is that halacha? Is that a halacha? Is that an isser d'oraisa? Is that a lav in the Torah, you know, quote unquote, that when you go, you know, again, it's always important to know and understand, you know, what we're talking about in terms of halacha. The bigger question isn't telling over someone else's information already perhaps subsumed under Lashon Hara? Meaning when you want to say over somebody else's information, why isn't that subsumed under Lashon Hara? Talking about somebody else, isn't that also Lashon Hara? So let's look. So if you look in the Rambam Hilchos Deos, Perek Zayin Halacha Hey, his Magdir, the Isser D'Oraisa of Lashon Hara, says the Rambam, someone who tells Lashon Hara in front of his friend or not in front of his friend, if what you say about your friend is going to cause him damage, whether financial or bodily, even if it just pains him, or just scares him, Lashon Hara. So what do we see about Lashon Hara? What's the Hagdara of Lashon Hara, according to the Rambam? It has to cause some damage or some distress. And the Rambam then brings up the little bit controversial concept of Biape Tlasa, that perhaps it is mutter to say Lashon Hara in front of three people. Because then if it's said in front of three people, then everybody knows about it. It's not. That's only if he's not intentionally trying to spread the rumor. All right. But the Rambam very clearly says to us, he tells us that the Hagdara of Lashon Hara is injuring somebody. So why then the Torah, why did the Torah introduce a separate issue of Lashon Hara? Why almost should not be subsumed under Valyemar? Meaning, why is the Sefer, you know, we're so, you know, within our culture, always used to talking about Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara. It should be Valyemar. That, you can, if you can't talk about anything, even someone even says to you, you certainly, Kava Chomer can't say about somebody that you know about that person. Certainly not. That would be impossible. So it says the Chafetz Chaim that Valyemar is not an actual Isser. It's what the Gemara there first started off saying, that it's a Derech Eretz. It's a guideline. It's an etiquette. Chazal are teaching us how to speak appropriately. Valyemar only applies the information that was told to you in private, indicating that the person wants it confidentially. What was our example? Where did we learn it out from? Moshe Rabbeinu. And what did the Gemara stress there? If you look back at the Gemara there, it says, where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell that information? The Ohel Moed. So the fact that it's in the Ohel Moed, in a private place, therefore is, right, Mashma, says the Chafetz Chaim, that Valyemar is, again, it's only when someone tells you something in absolute confidentiality, then, Mishum Derech Eretz, it's usher to tell it. Then the Chafetz Chaim gives perhaps a different way of looking at it. So even if you want to say that Valyemar perhaps is a halacha, but again, it's only if the person very clearly indicated that it had to be confidential. So Lamashal, right? Someone says to you, "Oh, Akiva, I'm this weekend, Father Hashem, the stores are finally open. I'm going to go up and get a new pair of shoes." Is that confidential? Is that secret that someone's going to get a new pair of shoes? Does it injure him to get a new pair of shoes? Chorinat. It could be, says the Chafetz Chaim, that in a case like that, where again, the person does not express confidentiality, doesn't say, don't say it. Unlike the case by Rav Zilberstein, where the girl was checking a blood test, certainly a blood test, right, would be something which we all want confidential, right? Our medical information is perhaps the most confidential information we have. That our financial information, all these things are super confidential, right? And therefore, it becomes, you know, incredibly important that you cannot express to somebody else that information. So, when we want to think about again, was the FBI allowed to give over the terrorist information? So, when you want to think about it in a halakhic perspective, so one way, the first stop is to think about is Valyemar. Halacha or Derech Eretz. If it's halacha, certainly again, if you have a password on your phone, and that which is stored in your phone is for most people a confidential level as well. Perhaps it could be a different Isser. Perhaps it could be, we know there's another aspect of Hilchos Lashon Hara, is that of Rechilos. What is Rechilos? Says the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, just again, clarify the term, says the Rambam, Echa Mesaper B'Lashon Hara B'Fnei Chaveiro. Number five. Ezu rachil. What is a rachil? Zeshe toein dvarim v'holich mizeh. Someone who gets information and he goes from this one to this one. V'yomer. Kach omar ploni. Kach. V'kach. Shemati. Don't you know this one said this? And I heard of this about this person. Al ploni afo pishu emes. Even though it's true. Right? If you just go and say, oh, did you hear such and such, this guy got a new car, this such and such, this guy got this, oh, you hear about this guy, you hear about this guy. Harizem machriv es ha'olam. Unbelievable lashon of the Rambam. If you go around spreading these kind of things, again, even though it's true, harizem machriv es ha'olam. Yish avon gadol mizeh, I know it is such a great sin. V'bechlal lav zeh v'hu lashon hara. It's a klaus, part of lashon hara. And even when, and certainly there's Lashon Hara on top of that, if it's not true, or if it's a genus, if it's going to be negative towards somebody, but if you say that if it's false, then that's neither Lashon Hara nor Rechilos, rather it's Moshe Shemra. If you sit around and say, oh, I heard about this guy did this, his parents did this, the kach lakach shemati love, and this is what I heard of this guy. The omer dvar b'shal genai, alze omer kosov, yichari es Hashem, kol sfasai chelkos, loshan medaber, es kudovos, right? That this person, like, he's cut off, from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's incredibly, incredibly, challenging. So the question is, does rechilos again also apply to that private information? So while I would go and you're going to go around and say, oh, I heard such and such a guy. Oh, did you hear that? What's his name? Got a 97 on a test. Oh, did you hear that this guy, whatever it might be. So how do we define the Isser? The Smag and Lo Sase tests and the Rambam there, as we just saw, Rashi and Chomesh also says it also includes revealing private information. So according to this, it's usur to reveal information that's told to you as if you're going to spread it around. There's a tshuva from Rav Yaakov Chagiz in the Shavuos and Tshuvos Hilchos Ketanos, book there, number 6. The tshuva from the tshuva of Yaakov Chagiz wants to know the person has a folly. There was a minhag in those days to write pagan at the top of the of a person's letter. Pagan was an acronym for a curse for anybody who opens up someone else's letters. So somebody asked Rav Yaakov Chagiz, "Sheilam Masha Nogin Lichtov Agabi Igros Upagin." Should we write that out? Should we give a curse from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to somebody who reads somebody's letters? Says the Yaakov Chagiz, very simply, a really two-line answer. He says, I understand. Tshuva. Forget curses. Forget segulos. Forget, trying to, in Pagim is that we saw is a curse that Hashem should curse this person that he should be bit by snakes. Forget curses from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's usur, right? It's isur levakesh lechapes misoros of shel chaveiro. You can't go and try to find secrets of your friend. Mali lo selich rachil la'acherim olatzmo. What's the difference if you have rechilos for somebody else? If you get information for somebody else, or if you get it for yourself, either way, it's going to be usur. Either way, that's going to be an isur daraisa of rechilos. We often get confused in Klal Yisrael between, segulas and actual halachos. Somebody once said, a friend of mine is a Rav, once said famously in a drasha, he said that, if someone would say that, that Talmud Torah is a segula, then everybody would do it. We often get confused by, things which we Klal Yisrael gets involved in segulas. I had a Talmud many, many years ago. This goes back to one of my first years in Chinuch. I never forget, they had a lot of Nebuch Tzaris in their life and things were going on. They had sicknesses and financial stresses and a lot of challenging things in their life and divorces. And I remember one day the boy, he came into my shir and we were talking and he said, Rebbe, he said, we met with a kubble and he gave us amulets and he had somebody paint like something on my mother's hand and all these like wild sort of ish Kabbalistic, I think probably more cultish like kind of things. And I said, well, why are you trying to do all those things? He said, well, we're trying to, get rid of all the tzaris in our life. I said, Yair, I understand. I said, why don't you start with the basics? He's like, what do you mean? I said, maybe start with keeping Shabbos, with putting on tefillin, with wearing tzitzis, with, davening. There's a boy who was completely, really away from Judaism, but yet he felt that it was more important for him to do all the skulos than do the basics. That's what says Rav Yaakov Chagiz. I understand. You're running to see, do I have to go and to, write a curse on a letter? It's usur. It's very simple. You can't go and collect information by reading somebody else's letters. And we'll get to the other aspect of reading letters in a little bit. So beyond the strict halachic prohibitions of any of these things, rechilas, lashon hara, bal yemar, it seems to me as well there are numerous other indicators similar to what we said earlier that it's not only usur but it's also unethical. It's immoral. There is, as we know, and it's worthwhile to read of Aaron Lichtenstein's Zatzal has numerous articles discussing is there a concept of morality separate from halacha. Right, it seems to be not, but the concept is that there is certainly an idea that there's things which are usur, and as that's what the Gemara and Yuma said earlier, there's things which are just derech eretz. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us, how to act like a mensch, how to act appropriately. Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva, there in Shar Gimel, We don't have time to go through the whole thing. Rabbi Ben Yonah says very simply that irrespective of practical harm caused by disclosing private information, it constitutes a breach of trust and violates appropriate standard of tznius. And he uses that lashon. It violates tznius, right? We're used to thinking of tznius as, you know, shirt lines and skirt lengths and things like that. Tznius is about how we act. Tznius is that we are violating people's privacy and people's trust. That's also a violation of tznius. And that's part of what we have to work on as well, is getting people to trust us and building relationships. And when we violate someone's trust and relationship, that's a violation of tznius in its truest sense. And that's what tznius is really all about, is relationships and building and privacy. There's an amazing Medrash Rabbah. There's an amazing Medrash. If you look through there, source number 8, it's an amazing Medrash Rabbah, and again, we don't have time, we'll speak it out. The Medrash Rabbah says that when David HaMelech ordered Yoav to assign Uriah to the front lines during the fierce war against Ammon, that Uriah would be killed. After Uriah's death, all the military officers were very upset at Yoav for causing Uriah's death, and they actually threatened to kill him. And the Medrash there says that Yoav himself said that he was Chayiv Misa for following along to be part of Uriah's death. But then Yoav takes out the letter defending himself, showing them the note that he received from David HaMelech himself, commanding him to put Uriah on the front lines, that it wasn't his idea. The Medrash comments that Yoav deserved to be punished for publicizing a personal letter from the king. Even though he was defending himself, even though he was trying to save his life, which we begin to now think about how it impacts our case with the terrorists. He was saving his own life. Normally we think of that if your life's in danger, everything gets pushed off for saving your own life. Yet the Medrash says that he deserves to be punished severely, even perhaps being killed, for publicizing a personal letter from the king, which is an absolutely incredible thing. On one more level of also other possible reasons why perhaps you're not allowed to give up the information, is that it's under the general broad mitzvah of V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. The stipler, in his first piece on Baba Kama and Kehilas Yaakov, discusses what is the iser of nezek, meaning when we know that if you injure somebody, so you're chayiv to pay them the five damages. Is it usur to damage somebody? Right, meaning do you have to ask mechila when you go up to Shemayim on Yom Kippur? Do you have to clap al chait for hurting somebody, or are you just, it's a technical din? You have to do tashlumin and pay them back. So the stipler has a number of different shitas. And then eventually he quotes Rishonim, quotes a Rush, quotes a Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's under the broad category of V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, that becomes the catch-all of all things that you don't do, that when you injure somebody else. So, similar to what the Gemara in Shabbos says in Hillel's version of V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, don't do to somebody else what you don't want done to yourself. And therefore, if you don't want your information spread, so that's a din of V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. If you look there in source number 12, there's a tshuva from the Torah Chaim. So the Torah Chaim says that one more issue of that it could be, he says, Nidrashni Lasher Sheluni, if someone has asked me the following, Aruvin Shayasholeach Ksav Chosim Al Im Chermos, Charamos, a love with Zar Ira Cheres. Somebody sent with a shliach a letter, right, mailman, to another city, and it was sealed, and it has on it those curses that we said earlier from the Tshuvas, from Yaakov Chagiz. Ubagia haratz osayir, when the mailman, the messenger, got to that city, ba Levi v'natol haksavim ksavim achirim. This, a third person, Levi, took that letter along with the other letters. Upascha v'kavash haksav, and he went, he opened up the letter. V'lanastul yad mishanesh alav, and he didn't give it back to the guy who was supposed to go to. The show, meaning Madino, when they ask what's the din in that case, the Torah Chaim there in a long tshuva says that you know what the issue in taking someone else's information is, something called yeush, it becomes called shoal shalomidas, right? Shoal shalomidas. You're not allowed to just go and take something from somebody, borrow it, quote unquote, without their knowledge. That's one issue. There's another issue, perhaps, in general about intellectual property. Are you allowed to take someone else's intellectual property? Can you go and copy CDs? And can you download it? Can you download songs from YouTube? Right. These are also a general rule. Can you go and just take someone else's ideas and information without their wanting you to take that information? And then one last issue that it could be is Chayrim of Rabbeinu Gershom. We mentioned earlier, and as we just said from the Tshuva Soros Chaim about opening letters, that we know that the Ber HaGola in Yoredeya quotes that the famous Takana of Rabbeinu Gershom, that a person is not allowed to go and read somebody else's letters because it violates a Takana of Rabbeinu Gershom. The question that the poskim all deal with is that the Takana of Rabbeinu Gershom, can that be adapted and stretched to other things? Or is it specifically about letters? You know, what about Bizman Hazeh, taking information, all the things we talked about? Can that be stretched, or is it specifically only that gezerah? These are all the issues, you know, that are surrounded in spreading someone else's information. But certainly, you know, but when we talk about, when we think about the terrorist case, and it prevents somebody else's damage, right? So there, it seems like Rabbeinu Gershom would not be gozer according to many of the poskim, as well as a lot of these things. If it's truly clear and present and absolute that we would prevent someone else's death, so that seems to imply that the Apple should have allowed the FBI to unlock the case. But short of that, it's very clear that it's never appropriate to share somebody else's personal information for all the above. Whether it's Takana Rabbeinu Gershom, it's Sholah Shol Midas, it's intellectual property, it's V'Hafzorecha Kamocha, it's Rechilos, it's Bal Yemar. So many different things over and over again. Very clearly, there are so many challenges and issues and prohibitions by allowing somebody to take somebody else's information. So Hashem, we should all, you know, be zahir to be more and more careful with how we treat other people, and how we treat even people's words and ideas. Have a good day.